This morning, as we continue in our study of Paul's second letter to Timothy, we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 through chapter 2, verses 13. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Paul is writing, as I mentioned earlier, to Timothy, who is leading a church that is struggling in itself. Timothy was struggling in his confidence and in his leadership of that congregation. He was writing to a church that needed to be reminded of its purpose and its focus. Because the church, even today, can so easily and quickly lose sight of what it ought to be doing. It can lose its focus. Oftentimes, a church can become focused inward, where it's so involved in not just maintaining the carpet and the lights and the building itself, but maintaining and caring for its members, which is an excellent thing. But it becomes so inward focused that it neglects its outward purpose in reaching out to the community, reaching out to the lost and those in need. Or maybe to an opposite extreme, you have a church that becomes so focused outwardly, where they are working on programs of social justice and trying to right the wrongs of their environment and of their nation and of their community. And they are boldly involved in political notions and working for the poor and the oppressed, which are all wonderful things that are an extension of the ministry of the church. But they, in doing so, also neglect to care for and equip their members. Both extremes tend to neglect Christ, to become so program or issue-centered that they forget that the heart of the church is the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ saved us from sin and wrath and called us to be his holy people. And so Paul's message to Timothy, Paul's message to the church even today is this: stay focused on Christ. For your life and the life and health of the church depends upon him. The first thing that Paul says, as we read in verse 13 of chapter 1, follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Paul tells Timothy, Paul tells us, follow the sound teachings. Paul probably, when he was there, had established a doctrine, a set of teachings that are essential for the church. And he passed this on to Timothy through his writings and through his teachings, through the proclamation of the gospel and the life of Jesus Christ. We might say today, follow the creeds or hold fast to those essential tenets of the faith, those things that make you a Christian. Hold fast to those things and follow them. Because, friends, sound teaching, good theology, leads to good living. What we believe should shape the way we live our life. Truth is in order to goodness. How does that work out? We believe that God is sovereign and that he has revealed his will for us in Scripture. And so if we believe that, we are to submit to his word and let the word of God be our rule of faith and life. We believe that Christ died for sinners, and so we, recognizing that we are sinners, confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and call the world to repent and trust in Christ. We believe that God's Spirit equips and empowers the church, and so we trust, not in ourselves, but in the Spirit of God to give us life and to enliven our mission. Truth leads to goodness. Follow these sound patterns. Hold fast to these teachings. But Paul also adds to that, in the faith and in the love that are in Christ Jesus, what we believe and how we live that belief is ultimately to be guided by the faith and the love that is found in Christ. It is not enough merely to believe. We must also love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves. There is no faith without love, and there is no love without faith. The next point that he gives to Timothy, we're going to skip over the personal notes about those who have abandoned him and those who have been loyal. Turn to chapter 2, verse 1. Paul then says, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strengthened by his grace. Make use of the means of grace that Christ has given to you. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about equipping ourselves in strength. Be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Trust in the strength that is found in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, not in our own might. And so that means come to those things that he says are going to give you grace. We know that he pours out his grace upon us when we attend to his word and read and prayer and faithfully meditate upon it. We know that we find his grace when we come to worship and we encounter the presence of God. We know the grace that is promised to us that we encounter when we receive communion or when we celebrate baptism within the church. We know these are means of grace where God has promised to meet us and to bless us. And so, take part in these things. Don't distance yourself from them. But hold on to these means and strengthen yourself by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And don't lose your focus in the midst of difficulty. Paul gives three great illustrations here about how to maintain that focus on Christ and on his grace in the midst of difficulty. The first thing he tells us here is that of a soldier. He says here, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus, for no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. I've never been a soldier. Maybe I could defer to somebody who has, but I think it's the job of every rank and file soldier to make his commanding officer happy. As long as you make your commanding officer happy, life will be good for you. You make your commanding officer unhappy, I can imagine only a whole lot of KP and toilet latrine duty in your future. The soldier answers the call of his captain and aims to please him in everything he does. Every Christian is a soldier of Christ. And you fight, you move, you walk under his banner, in his cause, against his enemies, for he is the captain of our salvation. Please the one who enlisted you, the one who calls you. The next thing we see is an athlete. An athlete disciplines himself and competes according to the rules. I remember when I was running a long time ago as an athlete in high school, and the rules of running were this. You couldn't have soda at all during running season. And for me, I was running all year round, and I missed soda a lot. Couldn't stay out late because I had to get up and run in the morning. You had to discipline your diet and your rest and your studies and everything so that you could compete according to the rules and strive for the crown of victory. Here Paul is saying, as athletes, compete for the crown. Don't get distracted. Work for the goal. Deny even yourself the things that are good in this life so that you can compete for the things that are great. He also gives the illustration of the farmer, one we all know here. The farmer works hard, works diligently, and waits for his payment, getting the first fruit of the land. Paul is saying in these illustrations, don't lose your focus. Work to please Christ. Don't get entangled in the things of this world, but deny yourself for the sake of the crown and wait patiently and work diligently as the harvest approaches, being strengthened by his grace. Finally, Paul says in verse 8, remember Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. The word that Paul uses here, remember, is written in such a way that it implies a perfect tense. And so when he says remember, we ought to read it as keep on remembering. Keep always in your memory as a constant focus the living Christ. We don't serve a past event. We don't serve a historical person who is no longer with us. We serve a living Christ. Constantly keep in your mind the memory of Christ who lives and reigns. His death and resurrection is the source of your life, your faith, and your power in ministry. Anything other than the resurrected Christ is a worldly message and a worldly power and will end when this world ends. Remember him. If you forget everything else, remember Christ, risen from the dead. Paul concludes this passage with a trustworthy saying, rather as an encouragement and a warning to the church. He says, this is a trustworthy saying. Keep this in mind. If we die with him, we will also live with him. For those in that day who were facing certain persecution, for those today who are facing persecution and loss for the sake of Christ, for those today who have taken up their cross and have died to themselves so that they might live with Christ, there is the promise that if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we deny ourselves and deny the sins of the world and the pleasures of the flesh, we will live with Christ in all eternity. If we deny ourselves even to the point of death, in persecution, we will live and reign with the living Christ. If you endure with him, you will also reign with him. We are called to reign and to endure with Christ in the midst of persecution, to bear the rejection, to carry the shame and the reproach of the cross, enduring in faithfulness with the promise that as he overcame, so shall we. And those who endure will reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. It's a somber warning. If we deny or disown him in the face of trouble, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even though our faith may waver, he is faithful. He cannot be untrue to himself. We remember how the courage of Peter failed, but he is restored. We may have honest doubts, but he is faithful. So let us as a church hold to the teaching of God's word and the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Do not lose your focus in the face of adversity, but always remember the risen Christ, who is the very center of the church, to his glory and praise forevermore. Amen. Amen.